This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News celebrating Jimmy Carter. I'm Sherry Preston. Farewell to the nation's 39th president is underway right now. Sitting in the first two rows at the National Cathedral in Washington, D.C., President Biden and former presidents Barack Obama, George W. Bush, Bill Clinton, and Donald Trump. President Biden delivering a eulogy at the funeral. And, says ABC's Terry Moran,
after the funeral here, Carter will make one final trip home to Plains, Georgia, where the family will have a private funeral and where he will be buried at home next to his wife of 77 years, Rosalind Carter, in the town where both of them were born.
Other speakers today at this service include Steve Ford reading remarks written by his father, former President Gerald Ford, before his death. Also Ted Mondale reading remarks from his father, former Vice President Walter Mondale, before he died. This is ABC News.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For AM 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Federal government buildings are closed today as a national day of mourning for former President Jimmy Carter, who died on December 29th at 100 years old. President Joe Biden will deliver a eulogy at Carter's funeral today, and President-elect Donald Trump is expected to attend the service. The U.S. Postal Service will not deliver mail today, and federal offices and departments will be closed. In addition, the stock exchange will not have trading today. Flags at government buildings will fly at half-staff through January 28th. On the agenda for the La Crosse City Council on Thursday, a resolution seeking state and federal aid to help deal with homelessness in La Crosse. The six-part request would be sent to the governor, state legislature, Congress, and federal agencies. The council will also take up two projects that would redevelop Grandview Hospital and South Library into housing. Other items include several property rezoning requests, adding annex properties to voting wards, and a few clerical changes to city ordinances. Three seats on the La Crosse County Circuit Court Judicial Bench are up for election this spring. Two of those elections will be unopposed as Elliot Levine and Scott Horn are running again for branches 2 and 4 respectively. Meanwhile, Joe Veenstra and Eric Sanford are running to replace Ramona Gonzalez in branch 1, who is retiring. Veenstra is a La Crosse area lawyer and Sanford is the family court commissioner in La Crosse County. There will not be a primary. All three branches will have an election on April 1st. New Lisbon police said that they've received 172 tips as of Wednesday on Virgil Thieu, who is the lone suspect in a triple homicide investigation. Thieu is accused of killing 33-year-old Elizabeth Kolba, 13-year-old Skyla Sorensen, and a 12-year-old girl last week. Police said that Thieu should be considered armed and dangerous and should not be approached, and to call 911. The FBI and U.S. Marshals are helping search for him. Anyone with tips can call the New Lisbon Police Department or the Juneau County Sheriff's Office.
You can take Civic Media with you anywhere you go with the free Civic Media app. Download it now at civicmedia.us/app. I'm Jimmy Cuska for AM 1490 WLCX and lacrosseeagle.com.
The Packers prepare for Philly. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Green Bay Packers face the Eagles in Philadelphia Sunday in the wild card playoffs. The Eagles have one of the top-ranked defenses in the league under coordinator Vic Fangio. I asked Matt LaFleur what makes them so tough.
You just don't see a whole lot of open space, a lot of gotcha plays. You're going to have to earn it, because if they get you in third and long, it's a nightmare.
College basketball, two of the Badgers men's team dealing with injuries. Max Klesmet in a walking boot after injuring his right ankle. Nolan Winter, able to practice despite suffering a deep cut to his finger the other night. Wisconsin hosts Minnesota Friday night. NBA, the Bucks with a 121-105 blowout over the Spurs. A.J. Green with 14 points asked, how do you defend 7'3" Victor Wembanyama?
Just be physical and crawl up under him, try to make him uncomfortable, stab at the dribble. That's what coaches wanted us to do, and I think that's how you got to try and guard them.
That's the Bucks' A.J. Green with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
A little sunshine this morning, becoming cloudy this afternoon. Our high today, right around 27. Tonight, some light snow is possible. It's not going to be much, about a dusting with a low of 18. Tomorrow, a few flurries with a high of 27. We are keeping an eye on another system that could bring more light snow on Sunday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 15.
The Todd Alba Show.
Donald J. Trump has been officially certified the winner of the 2024 election the way that the Constitution dictates.
You see how simple that is? There's a vote, you certify the results, democracy moves on. You might not like the results. The person I wanted to have elected didn't win, but that's the way democracy works. Unlike 4 years ago on January 6th, where rioters stormed the Capitol.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as we'll take a look at what's to come in the 119th Congress. What issues are important to you and what's realistic to get done? Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, LaCrosse's home for The Todd Alba Show.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenhoff coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. You can call. You can text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. All kinds of things coming up for you on the show today. Coming up after the 10:30 news, Karen Spiriani is the executive director of MATIC, which is Milwaukee Area Domestic Animal Control. They have been inundated with dogs. They received like over 100 dogs in the weeks following Christmas.
Oh my gosh.
And they can't refuse anything. They can't if someone comes and wants to surrender an animal to MATIC, they can't say, sorry, we're full. They're a county-funded agency. They have to take these animals.
Yeah.
And they're just not set up for this many. And it leads to problems for the animals. Just imagine being in a space not big enough for all of you. And all the barking and the tension and the anxiety and all of that stuff. So we're going to talk to Karen Spiriani about what you can do, what we can all do to give them a hand. If it's not adopting one of these animals, maybe you can foster.
Yeah.
Maybe you can make some donations. I know that they're really hurting for food and other things like that. So Karen Spiriani will be here after 10:33 to talk about the situation at MATIC. A little bit later on, next hour after the 11 o'clock news, there's an update on the Milwaukee Minnow.
You mean the saga continues?
The saga continues of the boat called Deep Thought, which has now been essentially renamed the Milwaukee Minnow, stuck on the beach between McKinley Marina and Bradford Beach. So we have some updates on that. Brittany Merlot will be here at 11:20 with a little weather and wine. We'll find out what we got coming our way. A little bit of snow, I think, overnight tonight. And then we're looking at maybe Sunday into Monday with a little bit more snow. Paul Noonan, the Acme Packing Company sports guru, will be here to talk all things sports at 11:33. And we will wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing, as we always do, at 11:51. Today it is the Rapunzel edition. Stick around for that.
Yeah.
I wanted to start off, though, with Jimmy Carter. The services are underway in Washington, D.C., as we remember Jimmy Carter, dead at the age of 100.
Yeah. Yep. Wonderful, wonderful man.
Wonderful, wonderful man. Probably accomplished even more after he was out of office.
Well, absolutely. He could just do the things he needed to do. He didn't have to rely on a Congress.
So we will. Yes. Anyway, there will be no mail delivery today.
Okay.
Because of this. And also the stock market is closed.
Gotcha.
So just be aware of that. Once these services are over in Washington, President Carter's remains will be flown to Plains, Georgia, where I believe they're having another private ceremony for the family later on today. And then he will be interned alongside his long love, Rosalind. So best wishes to the Carter family.
Yeah.
And what a long, illustrious life, an example for all of us.
A man who lived in service and
absolutely.
True.
truly, right? A true example of living life, living a life of service.
Correct. Yeah. Yep.
Also, a little update on these wildfires in Los Angeles, where we started off yesterday. So far, over 30,000 acres have burned. 100,000 residents have been urged to evacuate. What's interesting about these fires is a lot of them are in pretty urban areas.
Yes.
That's unusual.
The Pacific Palisades. And I have got a lot of friends living in Los Angeles, and I'm seeing a lot of messages just saying, we have fled, we have left, we're hoping we'll be okay, but we are safe. And they live in Los Angeles. They don't live in like
the hills.
They don't live in the Northwoods of California. They live in LA.
And of course, the finger pointing already happening.
Oh my gosh. Yes. It's the Democrats' fault. It's Gavin Newsom's fault.
It's the liberals who don't believe in God fault.
You didn't listen to Trump 6 years ago when he told you to, what was that again?
Rake the forest.
Rake the forest. That's not expert advice.
Sending our thoughts to everyone in California. This is just a nightmare. And it's been fueled by the 70-mile-an-hour winds, the Santa Ana winds, which make it extremely difficult to try and contain anything.
And Brittany Merlot will be on the show later, and she can actually talk more about how the winds are actually affecting the fires and what's going on there. And I just want to say a big shout-out to Steve Guttenberg. Yes, that's Steve Guttenberg from Police Academy, who has been helping people evacuate.
Good for him.
Good for him. You got celebrities out there doing the good thing, and then you got some other celebrities just being jerks. And who cares about them? I care about Steve Guttenberg helping the people of L.A.
Good on you. Good on you, Mr. Guttenberg. We appreciate that. Bringing things a little bit closer to home, we talked yesterday about the Wisconsin legislature coming back in session after months on vacation. And what was the first thing they decided to tackle, Greg? Was it child care?
No.
Was it health care?
Uh-uh.
Was it gun safety?
Not even close.
Was it school funding?
That's a joke, right?
Yeah, that is a joke. No, their number one priority after getting back, after having 300 plus days off, their number one concern is voter ID.
Ah, yes.
Voter ID.
That old chestnut.
Institutionalizing that into our state constitution. They're going to have an amendment on the April ballot. And I very much expect that this will pass.
I don't want it to pass. And I'll say this. I will not be shocked if it does. But folks, you're listening to us right now. We're going to keep talking about this. And the reason why it will pass is if people aren't having these conversations. So have these conversations with your friends and know that voter ID in our Constitution, or period, is not necessary. It absolutely is not. There's no proof that shows it does the good thing, keeps elections safe. There's just none. And there's plenty of evidence on the other side that shows there's not enough, quote unquote, voter fraud to denote doing these sorts of actions.
If you've never listened to Todd Alba, and I highly encourage you to do so. He follows us from noon to 2 p.m. Todd was a lifelong Republican.
Correct.
Until 2011.
Why?
When they started this whole voter ID scam.
And they did. And when we say scam, we're not using liberal left-wing talking points. It's a scam, and you will listen to Todd talk about this. He's talked about it before, and I'm sure because of this, he will continue to discuss this point, which is the fact that he left the party because of this, because in the room that he was in, they were not talking about keeping elections safe. They were not talking about ensuring voter confidence. They were talking about lessening the ability for certain individuals to vote. And those individuals include people of color, people with disability, older folks, students.
Yes.
People that the GOP assume don't vote for Republicans. Now, I don't want to say that they don't. You don't know. Not every person vote. No group is a monolith. But they just assumed, and this is what they wanted to do. And not only did Todd hear this, he testified to the fact.
In court. Under oath.
That this was more of a, we're going to get them rather than we care about democracy. And you can think I'm wrong. I'm not. And you can listen to Todd. He'll say it.
Todd was in the room where it happened.
I love that phrase.
He heard it.
Yep.
So I highly encourage you again to check out, listen to all of our Civic Media shows. But if you want to hear Todd, he talks about very openly.
Mm-hmm.
That is why he left the Republican Party.
That was it. Like that was the
straw. That was the straw that broke the camel's back for him. So now what are they up to? The Republicans, now that they've lost their supermajority, Democrats picked up a number of seats in the assembly. Think that that would lead to more. We were hopeful that that was going to lead to more working across the aisle.
Bipartisanship, more compromise.
Yes.
More just, you know, saying, hey, let's get stuff done.
For our constituents.
For our, as a representative democracy. Did you hear me, Robin Voss? A representative democracy. That's not what they did. That's not what they did at all.
Yeah, no, they're obviously still a little annoyed.
Miffed.
Miffed is a good word.
Miffed.
Representative Greta Neubauer, Democrat.
Who we would like to have on the show. You hear
me? We're making some reaches. Came out with this press release yesterday. Quote, Assembly Democrats are ready to get to work and deliver results for the people of Wisconsin. Our growing caucus, comprised of members from all corners of Wisconsin, look forward to serving on committees to provide critical analysis of proposed legislation and help craft policies to improve people's lives.
Yes.
Unfortunately, Assembly Republican leadership has chosen to start the legislative session in a highly partisan fashion, reducing Democratic positions on the vast majority of committees. Despite the people of Wisconsin choosing to replace 10 incumbent Republican lawmakers with Democrats in the last election. I hope my GOP colleagues will choose to shift course. They won't. And join Democrats in putting the people of Wisconsin over partisan politics in the coming legislative session. So
they
again, they lost seats. Nope, they're not going to compromise. They're just not going to place Democrats on important committees. That's their answer to working across the aisle.
They're doing what they like to do best. They like to change the rules. When the maps came up for the redrawing, they changed it so they had ridiculous gerrymandered maps. When Tony Evers took office, they wanted to strip him of as much power as they could.
As possible.
They're doing, now that they've lost their super duper majority, they're pulling this. This is a party of babies. This is the kind of crap you do when you say, I'm taking my ball and I'm going home. This is the kind of representative democracy Robin Voss wants.
Absolutely.
This is about power, consolidating the power, and never losing it, no matter what you do. And I'm going to tell you right now, if the Democrats even attempted, even as a joke, said they were going to do this, Fox News would lose their minds. Not just the local media, not just state media, Fox News, OAN, they'd be losing their minds.
Overreach.
Overreach.
Not
Can anyone defend this? I dare you to try to defend this behavior. You're going to strip members of the Assembly of possible committee assignments to keep your power.
Because we're mad.
Because we didn't get our way.
We lost some seats and we don't like it.
We still have power, but I don't have enough power.
You can always join us, 855-752-4842. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
What else to do about it?
Eagle, 1490 AM.
If you're living with dry age-related macular degeneration or dry AMD, you may be at risk for developing geographic atrophy or GA. GA can be unpredictable and progress rapidly, leading to irreversible vision loss. Now there's something you can do to
slow it down.
Izervay is proven to slow GA progression.
Izervay.
Izervay gets GA going slower.
Izervay or Avacincaptad Pegol is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. Izervay can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. Izervay may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about Izervay today.
Izervay gets GA going slower.
Visit Izervay.com. That's Izervay.com.
Earl Ingram.
The Republicans and Donald Trump want to impose tariffs. They say it's going to bring in $2.7 trillion.
That's what they say when they're trying to justify a tax reduction. Those broad tariffs are not good for the average American.
You know, Sandy, I'm not a guy that knows anything about calculus and any of those things, but I do know how to add and subtract. They're adding to the national debt.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Alba Show.
What's going on in Washington today as we move into 2025? Have your antenna up. Don't rely on all the media sources, just your own wisdom, your own heart, your own gut. Listen to what they're saying about our friends and neighbors and family, because we innately know these people that we live with every day in our communities. Don't allow words and thoughts to tear us apart. Hold fast to that which we know, which is good.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Up North News Radio.
Give me half a chance, cause I'm not dead yet.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Box, Sweet Cal B on the board. Coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. I wanted to have that song as our theme song.
Why is that? Why was that your theme song, Jane?
Because I'm old.
But why today?
You're going to make me say it?
Yeah, I'm going to make you say it.
It's my birthday.
Hit it, Calvin. Oh, yeah.
Thank you, Greg.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you, Calvin. Thank you for my birthday Kringle. Cream cheesecake is among the best creams. Thank you very much for that, guys. I appreciate it.
Happy birthday, my friend.
Thank you so very much. We were talking before we went to the break about Republican lawmakers in Wisconsin. Perfectly fine that they lost a bunch of seats in the assembly by cutting Democrats from some important committee positions.
Yeah, I mean,
they just got back to work.
Yeah, yeah.
They just got back to work after almost not 10 months off.
Yeah, apparently during this past election, it wasn't just a change in power or more Democrats who were voted in, but apparently all the Republicans who were voted in were all seventh graders.
Sure seems like it.
They're all been taken over by little kids.
They're very petty.
Very petty, very vindictive, very just not very nice people.
Obviously, they're all about working across the aisle.
They're all about democracy, too.
Yes.
They're all getting things done for the people.
Yes. 855-752-4842 if you would like to join the conversation. Jack from Merrimack is on the line. Good morning, Jack. Thank you so much for joining us.
Good morning. Well, first of all, let me say, this is your birthday song. It isn't very long.
Yeah.
I didn't have much time to write much more.
That's fantastic, Jack. Thank you so much.
Anyway, this sort of stuff, going back to the real topic
yep.
here, the sort of stuff that the Republicans are pulling, this is why we absolutely need a federal law that states unequivocally and clearly that every adult American citizen has the right to vote and that any law, regulation, or activity interfering with that right is null, void, and illegal. And, you know, you can make a list. You could start out by saying egregious gerrymandering, illegal, and the redistricting must be done by nonpartisan methods, ridiculously demanding voter ID, atrociously demanding mail-in or absentee ballot rules such that, for instance, a wife can't even hand in nor even legally mail her husband's ballot. Some of this stuff starting to sound familiar.
Yeah. It's amazing that the lengths that they will go to in order to discount someone's ballot. We're going to talk about what's going on in North Carolina, because that's a whole nother thing with the North Carolina Supreme Court and that election down there. We're going to talk about that tomorrow with Jim Santel, who is the host of Civic Media's Amicus, a law review on Saturdays from 9 to 11. But yeah, it's like, if they can't get their way the regular way, then they're going to look at 4,000 other possibilities on what they can do on procedural things to get their own way.
Instead of actually coming up with some ideas that will help Wisconsinites.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Thank you so much, Jack. Really appreciate it. Have a great day.
And what I really would want to ask the listeners right now is, we spoke about how the fact that we believe that this will go through on the ballot, and I don't want it to go through, and I don't think it should go through. And I think the problem is that a lot of people, just good folks, honestly, regardless of your party, see voter ID as a harmless exercise, as a thing that's just, just makes sense. You know, you should, I have to have my ID to do this. I should have to have my ID to do this.
How hard can it be?
What I want people to start doing is to start, I don't know if this is a word, but denormalizing that idea. To know that to vote for decades, for longer than that, in Wisconsin, you didn't need an ID. This is fairly new. You didn't have to have an ID. And I don't remember anyone complaining about it to such a degree that it required in the 60s and the 70s and the 80s or the 90s us to have an ID to vote.
Well, it started when they realized they were losing the culture wars.
Yeah.
And it's like, boy, our policies aren't very popular. We need to do something to stop these people from voting for the policies that they like.
So take that information, couple it with, why all of a sudden is this such a huge problem? And ask yourself, do we really need voter ID? Or is it the fact that we're trying to hold down the vote of certain groups of individuals? And the assumption that they don't vote for the GOP, which is just wrong to begin with, as we saw in the 2024 election.
Well, they've got to be rethinking about the whole thing about targeting college students.
After
this last election.
Absolutely. I mean, we saw a whole swath of people, groups of people. We were like, I don't think they're going to vote for Trump. And they voted for Trump. So I just want people to decouple themselves from this notion that voter ID is something that makes sense. And it seems right. And it's, why not? Ask yourself why, though. Why?
Well, and again, if we had evidence of massive voter fraud to the extent it could shift the outcome of an election, that would be one thing.
Yeah.
There is no evidence like that. We just spent almost $2 million, our money, looking for fraud in all the right places, and we still didn't find any fraud.
I would ask yourself this. If you believe that the 2020 election was free and fair, you shouldn't believe. I don't think it makes sense to believe that we need an ID to vote, because people believing this election was stolen is inaccurate. It's false.
It is false. It's a lie.
Using that idea to justify voter ID does not make sense. Therefore, we don't need it.
Tom from LA on the line. We're just up against the clock. Tom, thank you for joining us. What did you want to say?
Jane, I just wanted to tell you happy birthday, and I wanted to tell you something you may not know. You share a birthday with AJ McLean from the Backstreet Boys.
It's true, you do.
My best friend. So,
really?
There you go.
Thank you so much, Tom. Really appreciate it. Appreciate
get him to call.
Yeah, appreciate your listenership. News is coming up next. When we return, Karen Spiriani from Matic is going to be here. You need a dog. I know you do. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For AM 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Wisconsin is among the states dealing with a shrinking population. With more, here's Civic Media's Stuart J. Waddles.
A recent study by the Wisconsin Department of Administration projects a decline of nearly 200,000 Wisconsin residents by 2050. The report attributes the decrease in declining birth rates and the aging of the baby boom generation. While some counties, like Dane, are expected to grow, others, particularly in the northern part of the state, could see population declines of 15% or more.
The effects can already be seen here in the Cooley region. The La Crosse School District is consolidating elementary schools due to declining enrollment. La Crosse School District voters will take part in a primary next month to narrow 7 school board candidates down to 6. 7 people are vying for 3 seats. Among them is incumbent Meredith Garcia. The other 6 are Joy Buckman, Molly Fuchs, Adam Hoffer, Kevin Hunt, Jeff Jackson, and Sam Morris. 2 other current members of the board, Katie Birkdahl and current board president Juan Jimenez, decided not to run. After the primary on February 18th, 3 people will be elected to the board on April 1st. 2 people are hurt after a shooting early yesterday morning in Onalaska. According to Onalaska police, the shooting happened around 2 a.m. A man and a woman were taken to the hospital, one of them with life-threatening injuries. Police said that there is no danger to the community. Names have not yet been released by police, and nobody has been arrested or charged in the shooting as of Thursday morning. At the time of the shooting, both people were able to speak to police and first responders, according to WXOW-TV. The National Weather Service in La Crosse says 2024 is tied for the second warmest year on record for the Cooley region. The average temperature last year in La Crosse was 51.6 degrees, nearly 3 degrees above normal. La Crosse also set new record highs on 11 different days last year, most of them between the end of January and mid-March. It was a little wetter than usual, with about 2 1/3 inches of precipitation above normal for the year. So far this winter, 8.2 inches of snow has fallen. For AM 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. The effect of the fires in Los Angeles have been devastating. The ultimate impact on the entertainment business remains to be seen, but 2 notable premieres were canceled due to the fires, including Universal's Wolfman, which was scheduled to have its premiere at the TCL Chinese Theater Tuesday night. Jennifer Lopez's Unstoppable premiere was also canceled Tuesday night. There is no word on whether or not the events will be rescheduled. Wolfman is set to hit theaters on Martin Luther King Day weekend. Matthew Perry has managed to stay in the news fairly often following his mysterious death in 2023. His friend's colleague Lisa Kudrow made news the other day when she appeared on the Drew Barrymore show and told Barrymore that Perry gave her the famous Friends cookie jar from the set as a parting gift after the last episode. Kudrow added that Perry left a note in the cookie jar that she only recently discovered after his death. It is unclear why Kudrow checked the cookie jar after all these years. Maybe a serious case of the munchies. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Increasing clouds and increasing warmth, with highs reaching the mid-20s, all ahead of some snow tonight. Mainly moving in around sunset and continuing throughout the overnight. We are looking at accumulations around an inch, and a few flurries could still be lingering early tomorrow morning. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 17.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Here's what the WSJ had said after J6. This week has probably finished Donald Trump as a serious political figure. Boy, that hasn't aged well, has it?
No, not at all.
The Wall Street Journal. So after what they just said 4 years ago, Maggie, they couldn't bring it upon themselves to say that guy who did that shouldn't be anywhere near the White House again. Nope, couldn't do it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pat Kreitlow.
On Friday, we'll ask former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel about the both legal and legally challenged ideas being bounced around in the final days before Trump takes office.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
Hello, tips and toes.
like a needle and she can't sew. Walking the dog.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, the board lord, coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up after the 11 o'clock news, we have an update on the Milwaukee Minnow, the boat that is stuck along the shore between McKinley Marina and Bradford Beach. Some new details out about that. We will share that with you after 11 o'clock. Right now, though, we are joined by the executive director of Matic. Karen Sparapani is here. And Karen, we've had you on the show before, and I wish we could have you on sometime when everything is going great at Matic and everything is smooth sailing. And unfortunately, that just never seems to be the case. You have just received well over 100 dogs since Christmas, correct?
Yes, that is correct. And there's a lot of factors. I've seen a lot of social media posts saying it's all the puppies from Christmas, but it has not been that. It's been adult dogs. And people would think our industry is very random because, you know, the theory of a dog getting lost or a cat getting lost and coming in shouldn't have busy days, but like Mondays and Fridays are very busy days for intake for us. And, you know, a good percentage of the animals that we get in are unwanted animals, and people don't have options or don't want people to come to their home or just want the easiest, most convenient way to get rid of their animal. So they bring it here to Matic, or it could be sick. It could be injured. And again, we are very, very, very adamant about not judging people, because if you can't afford to take care of your animal, are you going to leave it to suffer? I'd rather someone, you know, say, oh, it's a stray and it's sick and it needs help and, you know, we can fix it, rather than not have the animal treated or just dump it somewhere, which people often do that as well.
Absolutely.
But it's when the cold weather hits too, we get a lot of people that just, you know, they do feel bad about leaving animals outside in the yard. But a lot of the time the animal's not really a good house companion because it's always been outside. So it's really just kind of more not something people would think. You know, people always go, oh, it's Christmas puppies. I wish I got a bunch of golden doodle puppies dumped here.
That'd be easy.
That would be best day of my life.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's not. It's adult dogs that are scared, that, you know, have been loved. You know, they were part of a family, and for whatever reason, that person can no longer provide and meet the needs of that animal. So we're the place people turn to. But, you know, everyone has that same idea. It's not like it's a unique idea. Like, you're the only person that thought, ooh, I'll just say my dog's astray, you know. And again, we don't judge people. And no one should feel bad about doing that, in the sense of, I get it. It would be better if they were just honest and said, I can't keep my dog. I can't afford it. There could be a barrier that we can help them with. And if there isn't, you know, then by all means, we'll get the dog another home. But tell us something about the dog, so we don't have people just thinking we have nothing. Tell us, is it like children? Does it like cats? Does it live with other pets? You know, things like that would help us place those animals in proper homes.
Well, and the thing with your agency as well, Karen, because of how you're funded, you have to take animals that come to you. It's not like you can say, yeah, we'd love to take it, but we're full and we can't help you. You have to take these animals.
Right. If someone brings an animal in and says it's a stray, we're going to take it. And most of the time, you know, even if it's an animal they can't keep. You know, a lot of people feel like once you emotionally divorce yourself from an animal, it doesn't have a home, but you can still sign it over because you are de facto. Someone gave me this dog yesterday and I don't want it today. You know, you're still the owner. It's not a stray. So if they just want to sign, because again, our big problem, and all shelters deal with this, if you're like, well, that's a surrender, you got to bring it to another shelter, and they do those things by appointment, we get people that just dump animals in the parking lot. And I don't, you know, again, I don't want to be the cause of that. I don't want an animal to run out of our parking lot and get hit by a car. And it's traumatic for the driver and the staff. Yeah. And, you know, so again, it's really such a complex issue with the situation with the economy and housing. So many landlords, I didn't realize so many landlords could, you know, change their mind about you having a pet mid-lease or not renew because you have a pet. And they're very biased against big dogs. Mm. And, you know, so that's why we get so many dogs. People get, you know, once the eviction started back up after COVID, you know, a lot of big dogs started coming in. And the problem is that so many big dogs come in, but most people don't want a big dog. And that makes it really, really hard for us. We get little dogs that fly out, or if they're a puppy, oh, well, you know, it'll be good because I trained it.
Right.
You know, people don't realize how much work that actually is. So we get a lot of big dogs and a lot of people like, oh, I just, you know, don't want a big dog, or, you know, and people are always going to have a bias against blocky headed dogs, which is unfortunate because they are not bad dogs at all. Most of them are, they have two speeds, like we're going to walk or the dog park or sleeping.
So, and when you, you say blocky headed dogs, not, you're talking about
the pit bulls
and
Pit bull mixes. Yeah. We call them pity type dogs because again, they're not a purebred, they're a mix.
Yeah.
But again, people just see them and there's so many bad news stories. And to be fair, I will just say every bad incident involving pit bulls is 100% owner responsibility. Mm-hmm. Dogs do not make decisions. They respond to stimulus. If they become a pack because you have five of them and you leave them out in the yard that's not fenced in properly and they can get out and do something, still your fault. You know, you are the higher thinking, upright walking person in this relationship and you're in charge. So people have too many dogs. They let them kind of just hang out in the yard and socialize with each other and then they don't like anybody else. Or they get very wound up when they see other people walk past and, you know, that we get some problems that way. But most of the time, the dogs we get in are perfectly adoptable, wonderful dogs. Mm. We got one in a couple of weeks ago from a cruelty case that's very thin. And, you know, the staff was kind of concerned about its behavior. But we had out yesterday. It's like the biggest love. Like, it's just such a sweet dog. And it lived with children, I know. And that dog is going to sit here because people just have prejudice against, you know, this particular look of a dog.
Yeah.
And that's starting to ebb a little bit. But every time there's a story in the news, there you go again. And you see the comments, I will never have a pit bull.
It just reinforces this. And like you said, Karen, my niece and her husband had a pit bull. They unfortunately lost her several years ago. Penny was the sweetest baby. She was a pity, and they loved her. I have other friends who've had pit bull mixes and they just rave about what squishes they are.
When a pit bull puts their head in your lap, they will not leave. And also the thing too is we don't look at, like, you know, lots of people are bitten by lots of different kinds of dogs and those are
little
all
dogs.
Terrible. Yeah. No one's calling for like the end of schnauzers, you know? So this, this notion that it's anything other than the owner's fault is crazy. It's like, it's how you're trained and how you're loved.
Right. And the big thing is socializing.
Yeah.
And that's never, ever, you know, talked about enough, is you're exposing your dog as a puppy to other dogs once it has all its vaccines, to other people. Take it to stores, take it to Home Depot, like get it used to public so they don't see any problem with other human beings or other animals. It's so critical. And it can be a death sentence if an animal ends up here and it's just so aggressive toward other animals.
Yep.
Because, you know, we get cases all the time where someone's walking their dog and someone with their dog that they never trained properly or socialized properly will drag them across the street and attack this other dog. And that shouldn't be. And that could have been taken care of in the first 6 months of that dog's life. So, but, you know, again, no matter what, the dogs are good. All dogs are inherently good. And we are so lucky to have them existing in the world. And it's just a shame that the world is in such a flux with, you know, you know, the economy and how much, you know, everyone's eggs cost so much money and this, but if people need resources, they're literally a phone call away. We have food we can give people. They could stop in, get free food. We have other organizations that supply food and resources. We can help people if they ask. But I do understand that some people are just can't do it. Like
right.
they have to move in with another family member, and that family member, no, absolutely not. And I get it. So I'm, you know, as frustrating and challenging as times like this are, you know, we do feel good about being a resource for the community.
Because
we don't want, they care enough to bring them here.
Yeah.
You know, they're not bad people.
Right. Karen Sparapani is our guest. She's the executive director of Matic, and they've recently received an influx of dogs, well over 100 dogs who are looking for homes, looking for fosters. If you're not ready to maybe adopt an animal, you can always foster them and see how that goes. You can always volunteer. There's all kinds of things that you can do to help out.
I would say, honestly,
we even do those test drives. I don't want to interrupt you, but
no.
You could do a 5-day test drive on a dog and bring it back. And if it didn't work out, you could just take another one home till you find your right match. Like, so we're all about like trying to help you find the right animal.
Well, and that was two things I was going to bring up. One is, I honestly, Karen, I think that sometimes it's not just a matter of people not being able to ask for help. Like, I bet you a lot of people don't know you do those things either. Like, you have those resources available. So if you're listening and you know someone who's
struggling,
in need, have them call Matic and maybe they'll be able to supply them with some free food or some help. But I would say the other question the thing I wanted you to talk about was those tiers of helping. You know, you have the test drives, you can foster, you can adopt. There's ways of being involved in these animals' lives that don't require you to adopt a pet right away. You can bring yourself into the process and really get yourself, as you said, the right fit.
Yeah, we take in 13,000 animals a year, and there's only 41 employees. And most of them are not, you know, it's like, if we didn't have the fantastic group of volunteers that we have, I don't know what we would do. We're government funded. The government has given us enough money to bring the animals in and care for them, but the getting them out into homes or transferring them to other facilities, the medical, we do have 3 vets on staff, so we could do way more surgically and medically for the animals that come in before they get adopted. But, you know, it's just without our volunteers, most of our cats are adopted out by a volunteer. The dogs have volunteer supplemental assistance. We have people that help the staff in the back, the medical staff. So, I mean, we can use you anywhere. And if you don't want to be in the back because you're going to cry because you see animals and you just want to take them all home, we can have you work up front.
There's always something for you to do in some way, shape, or form if this tugs at you at all. And I know there are a lot of folks listening who are like, oh, if maybe you already have 5 dogs and you can't do another one, that's fine. But there are other ways for you to help. And we're going to talk about this on the other side as well, Karen, as your there's a low-cost spay-neuter program, too, that you offer, correct?
Yep. We do low-cost spay-neuter. And for cats, for people that reclaim cats and pit bull type dogs from Matic, we'll give them a free spay or neuter. And if they can't decide that day, a lot of people are like, oh, I don't know. Like, you have 30 days to decide. We're here to make sure that your animal can stay healthy. A lot of times if you've bred your female a few times, she can get something called pio, and it's essentially a really complex spay surgery, but it's going to cost like $3,000.
We're going to continue our conversation with Karen Sparapani, the executive director of Matic. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
You got cockle shells, pretty maids all in a row, walking bird dog, just a walking bird dog. If you don't know how to do it, show you how to walk a dog. Come on now, come on, come on. Oh, oh. Just a walking.
You're listening to The Eagle.
WLCX, La Crosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Today, I'm going to connect the idea of imagining yourself being good at money with my favorite academic research paper ever, which is about shooting free throws. Basketball. Stay with me. The study had one group of players practice their free throws every day for an extra 2 hours, and then another group of players imagining themselves practicing free throws for the same amount of time every day. The researchers called this simulated mental practice. The research showed that the mental practice, without any actual physical execution, improved their free throw shooting more than just going through the motions. I'm not saying that imagining yourself good with money will suddenly make you a gazillionaire, or imagining that free throw shooting is going to make you Damian Lillard, but both can help. For more practical money tips, visit workmoney.org. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
You want to feel important.
You want to be part of something bigger, something that matters and can help change things.
You want to feel like you belong.
We know. We felt that way too. And that's why we did something about it.
We aren't just Army National Guard soldiers.
We are normal people just like you. But our part-time service in the Army National Guard means we get to be more.
When our communities are in need, we get the chance to stand up and do something about it.
We get to serve in our own region and help the people we call neighbors.
From the lake shores of Ohio, Michigan, Wisconsin, and Minnesota.
The fertile fields of Indiana, Illinois, and Iowa to the wide open plains of North and South Dakota.
We are here for our hometowns.
And together, we can make a difference. Take on your legacy. Visit NationalGuard.com to find out more.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
She hurt my feelings deep. I'm gonna buy me a dog.
A dog. Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Caliente on the board, coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. It's time to adopt a dog. Karen Sparapani is our guest. She's the executive director of MADC, which stands for the Milwaukee Area Domestic Animal Control Commission. And we're talking about this huge influx they've had of dogs since Christmas, well over 100, looking for homes, looking for love, and even looking for a nice foster family.
Yeah.
If you can't commit to adopting them. Like you said, Karen, sometimes people drop these animals off and they're not able to give you a lot of information. Do they socialize well with children? Do, you know, were they in a house with children? Were they in a house with cats? Were they in a house with another dog? So if you foster them, this gives you an idea of what their personalities are like, how they're going to interact with other things in the household. So when you put them up for adoption, you have a basis of behavior to work from, right?
Yeah, that's the best part of fostering, is that you get to see what that roommate's going to be like. And, you know, I've had some, the easiest fosters ever that just come home and are like, hey, on the couch, like chill, have good behavior. Some need a little polishing, but I've not had any that were like, one time I took home a dog that was bouncing from one wall of the kennel to the other. Linus, his name was, I'll never forget it. He never touched the ground. He was boing, 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 boing. And like, yeah, no one wanted to adopt a dog that looked like that,
yeah,
because they didn't want that in their house. But that dog was perfect. He was better trained than my own dogs. You know, so again, it's, you can't judge the animals by what they're like at a kennel or in a shelter. This place is super, super stressful. Most dogs have, you know, we have, you know, some population of animals that have really not been inside. You know, they've been outdoor dogs
their whole lives.
And even mm-hmm. them being here are, it's kind of scary just being inside. And, but again, when you get them out of this, they're also like, you know, they genuinely seem.
You're breaking up just a little bit, Karen. I think we're a little bit frozen.
Rising up. They could be in a kennel with 50 other animals in one of our bigger rooms.
Yeah.
And most dogs never experience that.
Well, just imagine being in, I don't know, a big gymnasium with a bunch of crying, screaming adults. And it's like that 24/7. That's what I imagine it's like for some of these dogs. It's just a cacophony of sound, and they're afraid, and they're tense, yeah. And they're all of those things.
Think experience.
Yeah, it's got to be terrible. It's got to be terrible for them. I think we're having a few connection problems with Karen. She's going to try and bounce back in with us.
Karen, if you can, Calvin, if you can put the phone number in the chat, and if you can call us back on the phone, that would probably be best, Karen. But I was going to say, like, even my dog, Maybelle, did not come from a situation like Maddox.
She came from a pretty chill background.
She came from a pretty chill background, and it took her, and this was the best thing that the vet ever told us, it was 3-3-3. It was 3 days to get over the fear of new surroundings, 3 weeks for her personality to come out, and 3 months to be comfortable. And that's kind of what happened.
Really?
Yeah, she has her moments, let me tell you. But like what Karen was saying with regard to the, you know, how they act in the kennel or in the shelter versus how they're going to act in your house is totally different.
Completely different.
It's how you also react to the dog's behavior that I'm learning right now is like, you want to say things like, oh, you're going to be fine. It's okay. They don't understand conversational English.
Right.
The word sit is just a sound that makes them go put their dupa down. But like, it's all about how we get trained, honestly. And when you go to a place like Matic or another shelter and you see these dogs and take a test drive, take a 5-day test drive and see how they act in your home with your family and just, does it feel like the right fit?
Well, and again, it's important to get them away from all of that franticness.
I think that's a great deal, personally.
Right. Go ahead, Karen.
Yep,
I think we're still frozen a little bit.
I would say it's like getting married on the first date can be difficult.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't get married when you just go out to dinner and a movie and that's where you decide to join forever and ever.
So that's why the fostering. Yeah. And again, if you do a 5-day foster, you get half off the adoption fee. So
there you go.
We are going to put a link into Matic. If you want to find out more, if you would like to check out some of these pets, you can make donations. Do you have a wish list, Karen, for items that you would like to see if people want to donate?
Yep. Absolutely. It's on our website, which is madacc.org. And just go on to donate. And it has every option available from blanket sizes, because a lot of people like to cut fabric and make blankets, to our Amazon and Chewy wish lists, to all the stuff we need. You know, kitten season's just around the corner, so we're going to start getting stuff ready for our kitten fosters. We always need dry and canned food for the animals, so there's always something. We use newspaper. We used to have the Journal Sentinel next door, and we really miss them because we don't get any extra newspaper. So if people are still getting the printed papers, we can definitely use them here.
We will will include the link to Matic in our show notes. Karen Spiripani is the executive director. Help them out. Help these pups out. This is an ongoing need. It's not going anywhere. Karen, thank you so very, very much. We really appreciate your time. And hopefully we'll get some of these pups adopted. We have news coming up next. Stay right here. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Yeah, yeah. Boop, boop, shabop, bop, ram-a-lam. I'm gonna buy me a dog. What, my girl don't love me no how. How?
Now, now, brown cow.
I think I'm gonna buy me a dog, yes sir. I'm gonna buy me a dog. If I was looking for a word to describe what I'm gonna buy, I think dog would be the word. It would be dog.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, Lacrosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Dom Salvia.
Next time, James Santel, former U.S. attorney, will discuss the president-elect's appeal to the U.S. Supreme Court. And will AG Merrick Garland release Jack Smith's J6 report unredacted? Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. Soaring high above La Crosse, this is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse. And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News celebrating Jimmy Carter. I'm Sherry Preston. Gerald Ford's son, Stephen, says his father died in 2006, but the eulogy he wrote for Jimmy Carter before he died continues to bring joy and pride to their family. Here's some of that eulogy.
By fate of a brief season, Jimmy Carter and I were rivals. But for the many wonderful years that followed, friendship bonded us as no two presidents since John Adams and Thomas Jefferson.
Also speaking, Ted Mondale, son of Carter's vice president, Walter Mondale.
Today we join in sadness to honor our dear friend, President Carter, for his extraordinary years of principled and decent leadership and his courageous commitment to civil rights and human rights.
After the service, Carter will be buried alongside his wife, Rosalind, at their home in Plains, Georgia. This is ABC News.
Local.